As we come to God's Word today, we're continuing a series, a three-part series we began last week. It's entitled, Be Still, while we're sheltered in space and in place. God wants to say to us, just be still. He wants to still your spirit today. He wants to still your heart amidst all the things that we're experiencing that have been forced upon us and that are so unusual. Today, we'd like to talk about being still in the storm. And I direct you to a most remarkable story out of Jesus' life that Mark records for us in Mark chapter 4. We begin with verse 35. On that day when evening came, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. That would be the other side of the lake or the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. They put Jesus in the boat with them and the disciples launched out. And there were also other boats with him. But verse 37 tells us that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. They were sinking. But verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. So the disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. May those three words just lodge in our hearts with power today. Quiet and be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Then Jesus said to his disciples, now why were you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, if you have been to the Sea of Galilee, I visited there many times, you may know that there was an archaeological discovery a few years ago. It's called the Jesus Boat. It's in a museum right on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a boat that was excavated a number of years ago. Here's a picture of it. Scientists have worked long and hard to keep it, now that it's not down in the sand, to keep it from decaying as it's exposed to air. But that was a typical boat that dates back to the lifetime of Jesus. You can see it's not huge. You can imagine huge waves just tossing that boat around. And you can imagine Jesus being there in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the other 12 disciples, they pretty much fill that boat. And this was a typical fishing boat, very much like what Jesus would have traveled in. And he was on the Sea of Galilee. I was on the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and I took this picture of the Arbel. It's a pass or a canyon up in the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is famous, even to this day, for the sudden, quick, like microstorms that could erupt. One of the reasons is that land formation of the Arbel becomes, under the right conditions, like a wind tunnel swooping in over the northwest part of the lake. Or even more so, that's a sunset picture. This now is a sunrise picture looking across the Sea of Galilee to what we would know as the Golan Heights. Behind the Golan Heights, desert winds would sweep up, ferocious desert winds would come in sweeping over the Sea of Galilee, causing these storms to come up. So all the details in the story seem perfectly accurate to what we know and observe today and what archaeology has discovered. But the question is, where are you in this story now? And I want to invite you to find yourself in this story. This is what we call a relational Bible study. This kind of Bible study doesn't work for every passage of Scripture, and it works best in a small group. But I'm going to take the risk, with none of us being together, of leading you through a relational Bible study for a few minutes, because I want you to find your story in this story somewhere. So a relational Bible study would start with a question like this. Which weather condition best describes your life right now? And at least in this story, there's two to choose from. there's verse 37, this furious squall, this storm came up, and all of a sudden water was swishing in over the boat, huge waves, enough motion to make anybody seasick. And then after Jesus gets done with the storm, it goes back to like at the beginning of this story where everything was calm. Maybe your life is like being in a storm right now. Or maybe, to be honest, your life is in a fairly calm season. You're sheltered in. You don't have a lot to do right now. It's just kind of peaceful. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. If I was to describe the weather condition of my life right now, I would say it's in between those two. I would say it's a little cool with a brisk wind. It's not my favorite weather, but it could be worse. But it's a little cool with a brisk wind. These are definitely uncharted times I know I'm walking through right now in my life. So which weather? We start by maybe taking that part of the story and identifying, putting a name to the kind of conditions that we're in our life right now. And then the second question would be, okay, you know what weather condition you're in. What moment in the story do you most identify with now? What moment in the story? You would say, that's kind of me right now. So it could be verse 35, when Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Actually, of all the moments I'm going to describe here, this would be my moment. Maybe it's kind of why I feel the brisk wind right now. I feel like God's saying, you know, Bradford, even old dogs can learn new tricks. I mean, I'm just stretching you right now. I'm teaching you new skills. There's a going over to the other side. There's a new normal I want to embed in your life. So I really identify with that moment when Jesus said, let's not stay here. Let's go to the other side. Or maybe right now you identify with that moment when this storm kicked up in verse 37 and the waves broke over the boat and it was nearly swamped. Maybe you're just feeling swamped right now in your life. I mean, you know, some of that can just be feeling overcome with sadness right now. I mean, we have conditions that have been forced on us that we didn't ask for. So sometimes there's just this sadness. There's just this lamenting. And we don't know if lamenting belongs in the Christian life sometimes or not, but there's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations. Many of the Psalms are Psalms of lamenting. It's not denying our grief, but facing it and saying these are sad times. And maybe you're just feeling overwhelmed by sadness. Maybe you're feeling like your boat's being swamped with just kids all day and having to work long hours and the clunkiness of trying to get things done over Zoom and leading teams and decisions taking a long time. And it just feels overwhelming. Maybe that's what you're feeling right now. Or maybe in the story, you identify with what happens in verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Like, Lord, don't you care? We're drowning. Don't you care? And you may feel like, you know, it's like God's sleeping. I don't even know if he knows what's happening in my life right now. And that's the moment I identify with. Like I'm just trying to get God's attention. Does he even care what I'm going through right now? And it's like he's asleep and I'm panicking and I have to have him respond to me in some kind of way. Or maybe God's brought you through something, but you're being reflective right now and you really identify with verse 40, where Jesus said to his disciples after the fact, like, why were you so afraid? And if I was a disciple, I go, what? I mean, we nearly drowned. But Jesus said, you know what? I brought you through this. And why were you so afraid? Why don't you have more faith? And this could be a moment where God's just stretching your faith right now and stretching your ability to trust him. And he's just saying, how come you worried so much about that? You notice I brought you through. You notice we're to a new place like that. But why did you worry? Why were you so stressed? Maybe that's what you identify with. So I'd like you to think about the weather condition that marks your life right now and then find a place in this story that you most identify with. And that will come no matter what your weather condition, no matter what part of the story you identify with, it'll always bring you to this question because all roads lead to Jesus here. It'll bring you to this question, how is Jesus right now revealing himself to you? How's he revealing himself to you right now? Because this really isn't a story about coping with the storms of life, although there's a lot of instructive material here. But really, the point of this story comes in the very last verse, where Jesus just rebuked them for not having enough faith. They don't even respond to Jesus. They just look at each other and say, "Who is this?" And that's the question of the hour. That's the purpose of the story. The answer to that question, who is this? For even the winds and the waves obey him. Like, who on earth is this? This story brings us in the end to the identity of Jesus. And no matter what weather condition you're in, no matter what life circumstance you're in, no matter what you're feeling or not feeling or not facing right now in your life, Jesus is still looking for an opportunity to reintroduce himself to you. That's the question of all. Who is this? And how might Jesus be revealing himself to you right now? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Of course, we know the answer to that. Who has dominion over creation? No one else but the Creator himself. The answer is that Jesus is the Creator. I love how Stephen Meyer put it when he was here a number of years ago speaking at Central Assembly. He summarized his message in these three simple statements. He said the three great fields of science, cosmology, physics, and biology. He said cosmology tells us that the universe had a beginning. By the way, that's cosmology is the study of the cosmos. That's not your cosmetologist. I think they're shut down right now. But cosmology tells us the universe had a beginning. Most scientists didn't believe that 100 years ago. And physics is telling us that the universe is fine-tuned. It's extremely fine-tuned. That the laws of nature are so precise that they defy any kind of probability that this would have happened by accident. And biology is telling us that life is coded with information. I mean, you have matter and you have energy. Like you could have your computer, matter, and energy, electricity. But where does the software come from? And yet life seems coded with information. Information's immaterial. Information suggests that there's an intelligence behind everything that's been created. And John, the Apostle John, who wrote five of our New Testament books, he put a name on that intelligence. And he called it the Word, capital W, in John 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Turns out he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He's the intelligence behind everything that is. When the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3, and through him all things were made. And without him nothing was made that has been made. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? No one else but the Word himself, the intelligence behind all the information and all the preciseness and all the beginning point of the universe. It is Jesus. And that Jesus was in the boat. My brother-in-law, Dr. Doug Loenberg, who's with Assemblies of God World Missions in Kenya, he recently wrote this. Who is this man? Who is this man that even the winds and waves and the spread of a virus obey? Well, he's in our little boat, the Creator of heaven and earth. He's in your little boat. So call out to him and have faith in him. In other words, because the Creator is in your boat, you can relax. You can relax. Listen, I don't know that we hear the word relax enough around church. Usually it's pray more and do more and try harder. But listen, Jesus is in this story. The winds and the waves are buffeting. They're bailing. The disciples are bailing, trying to bail water out of the boat frantically. And they go and they wake up Jesus. Because what's Jesus doing? Jesus is sound asleep. And this little boat, you saw a picture of one of those kind of boats. It's just being tossed by these waves. It's flooding. And the disciples are panicking. And where's Jesus? He's sound asleep. I mean, Jesus is the most non-anxious presence I know. I mean, he's the God who just says to us, relax. because I'm sovereign over creation. I'm the creator, and I'm in your boat. So you can relax. I'm grateful that when I'm nervous, God's not. I'm grateful that when I'm panicking, he's not. Where is he? He's taking a nap because he's not stressed about anything. He's the creator of heaven and the earth. Even the winds and waves obey him. And he is in your little boat. That's why we can trust him. You know, there's a lot of anxiety and stress building up in our lives these days. But we need to let it go. You know, I just challenge you today, whatever you're feeling of stress, anxiety, fear, panic, worry, if that's the part of the story you identify with, just let it go. And just in Jesus' name, relax. Because he, the creator of heaven and earth, is in your boat. If you've opened your life to him, just relax. I mean, this may mean we have to adjust some of the expectations that we have on ourselves. I don't know what to expect of myself these days, some days. I mean, I was just bemoaning to my wife last night that I'm not good on social media, and I feel so inferior to other pastors who are just, they just pick up their phones and they're doing Facebook Live and just stay in such great communication with everybody. I mean, it just comes second nature to them, and I don't even like it, let alone find it easy to do. And I was going on to my wife, oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. And she just said to me, this was last night, she just said to me, boy, you're full of shoulds, aren't you? I go, you know, sometimes my life is that way. I'm just full of shoulds. I mean, you know, in this time when there's not a lot some of us can do, we just need to relax. I mean, just moderate the expectations on yourself and do not go the direction of starting to feel sorry for yourself. You just need to relax. Because you start feeling sorry for yourself, then you're going to start feeling like the victim of everything, all the storms around you, what other people are doing or not doing, what the state's imposing on you or not imposing on you. And you start feeling like a victim, then you feel powerless. And when you feel powerless, that is the prescription for all kinds of stress. You just need to relax. Listen, adjust the expectations on yourself. Do not ever go the direction of just starting to feel sorry for yourself. Like one friend of mine said, you know, self-pity is a choice to be grumpy instead of trusting God. You know, there's a better way than to be grumpy where all the pressure's on you. Relax. The one who commands the winds and waves, he's in your little boat. He's been asleep because he's that worried about what you're going through right now. But he cares. And he just wants to hold this for you. He just wants to be your security. He wants to be your trust. And, you know, don't fight this season. Don't sometimes just relax. You know, I just want to resist the season I'm in. This is not my favorite season right now. I wish we didn't have these restrictions. I wish I could be in this auditorium full of over 1,000 people just worshiping God together. But it's just not reality right now. But you know what? God's still always doing something. The creator of heaven and earth is in our little boat. And he's causing creative new things to happen. Especially feel like Jesus is purifying us right now. And he's preparing us for the next season in our lives. I think this is a time where some of our little distractions and affections and idols that have become too big in our life, they're just all being exposed right now. This is a time of simplifying, having time to ask God to search our hearts. He's purifying us. And he's got a purpose for every one of us because he created us. He created us on purpose. Who is this? Who the winds and waves obey? It's our creator. It's Jesus, the creator. And he's in our little boat. And he's saying, relax and just don't resist my purposes for you right now because I'm purifying you and I'm preparing you. I just believe we're going to come out of this season stronger than we went into it. I believe we're going to be closer to Jesus. I believe we're going to be valuing relationships more. I believe we're going to be spending less time with things that aren't that important in the future because God's preparing us for the great things he wants to do through us. He said, so just relax. Don't resist the seasons. Don't start feeling sorry for your situation. Don't put expectations on yourself beyond what I'm doing. Just remember, I'm in your boat and I'm the creator of heaven and earth. So I can just see him cupping his hands around his mouth right now and speaking into each one of our homes, into each one of our life situations, no matter what weather condition you're in, no matter what moment you identified with in that story, I just see Jesus cupping his hands and saying, as he said over the Sea of Galilee, quiet, be still. I just believe by faith that God is speaking over the noise and anxiety of our lives. And he's just saying, be still. He's saying to our souls, be still. He's saying to the noise of our anxieties, quiet, be still. Because I'm the creator of heaven and earth. And I'm in the boat with you.